Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to one of my favorite chapters in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Numbers, chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His Word. Interesting chapter, I think. I'm fascinated by it. The more I read it, the more there are these subtleties in it that are very interesting. First of all, we have the occasion, but we need to understand that it is simply an occasion. The occasion is Moses has taken a wife of Ethiopia. What's interesting about that is that the Lord does not condemn him for it, but Moses, but Miriam and Aaron certainly do. However, we find that really all that is the occasion, that what they had been doing was harboring a secret jealousy against Moses because God had singled him out as his prophet par excellence. And so the marriage to the Ethiopian woman, notice that in their complaint, Moses does not record that they said anything about the Ethiopian woman. But that was the occasion where it came up, where they said, you know, God has spoken to us too. He hasn't spoken only to Moses. Now here's the interesting thing, that many times we get ourselves sideways with one another, and we do it because of some occasion, but it's not the occasion that's the problem, it's the thing we've been harboring in our souls. That's the problem. And rather than to get that thing on the table and discuss it and rectify it and be rid of it and put it away, we harbor it. And so Miriam and Aaron, I don't know how long they'd been harboring this jealousy against Moses, but it had been for some time. And so the occasion of this untoward act, which seemed to them to be an untoward act, for which the Lord has no rebuke, the taking of an Ethiopian wife, well then, the floodgates are open at that point. And they can come on out with it. Brothers and sisters, let's be careful to come on out with it before things are inflamed. Let's be careful to come on out with it when it is but a little thing and can be taken care of, rather than it grows into the fantastical monster that it doesn't need to be. Let's not wait for an occasion such as this when things might flare up. Let's bring these things up when they're yet small and can be dealt with without striking out against one another, making accusations. Notice also, it says, "And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us?" Now, it doesn't say where they said it. But there's an implication as to where they said it. The implication is that they said it privately. It still hadn't really broken forth upon Moses as yet, because it says, "And the Lord heard it." Just like in the last chapter, when the people murmured in their tents and the Lord heard it, or when the people said, "All we have is manna," and the Lord heard it. When the people thought it in their minds, and the Lord heard it. So He hears it here. He hears their dissatisfaction with Moses. He hears their jealousy against Moses. And then we have this comment in verse 3. Commentators are quite divided as to when this verse 3 entered into the text. Whether it was written by Moses himself, which would seem counterintuitive, wouldn't it? Now, he could, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, write this about himself. He could. But it would be unlikely, in my opinion. I think that this was added by Joshua. You know, Joshua was here. We saw him in the last chapter. So it would not be untoward as Joshua received the books from Moses, as Joshua compiled and amended them and brought them all together, for Joshua to add this, or Moses might have said it about himself. Commentators are divided. It's my opinion that Joshua added it later. I mean, if you're writing about yourself that you're the meekest man on the face of the earth, it may not be quite the meekest thing to say. Anyway, however it got in, we believe it. We believe that Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And you know why we believe it? Because Moses doesn't rise in his own defense here, does he? They're speaking against Moses, and Moses doesn't rise in his own defense. Actually, the Lord rises in his defense. So the Lord rises up to defend Moses. Notice, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." I think this is a very interesting scene. This is my take on it. You can take it or leave it. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but this is my take on this. The cloud comes down from heaven, whoosh, upon the tabernacle, and there is a figure standing at the door of the tabernacle. Yahweh of hosts, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they see Him. And this is the first time Miriam and Aaron have seen Him. Moses has seen Him before. And so this figure, this Yahweh of hosts at the tent of meeting in the midst of the cloud, calls Miriam, Aaron, and Moses to Himself. And here's what He says. "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth." He calls them right up to Him. Well, right now, it's not looking good for Miriam and Aaron. The Lord's called them to the woodshed, basically. And so He says, "Hear now My words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make Myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all Mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark sayings, just like I'm speaking to you right now. And how do you like it?" It's this fearful visage that the Lord presents to Miriam and to Aaron because they have spoken against Moses. They have pushed out of their station, just like some will do here in a few chapters. And the Lord appears in this fearful visage to Miriam and Aaron. He says, "Is this what you really want?" Wow. This is what I think is going on in this passage. And so, him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark sayings. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Oh, I'll bet they are now. Oh, I'll bet they are now. See what happens when we press out of our station. You see what happens when we see those whom God has trained and ordained and worked with and brought up and put in office, and we think from the pew, I could do that. There's nothing to it. Oh, I could do that. There's nothing special there. I read my Bible at home. And I don't anticipate any of you are doing that. But there's a whole cadre of people in the church today that do exactly that. There are hirelings galore that obtrude themselves in the pulpits across the land without training, without ordination, to seek to speak to the people of God in the name of the Lord without a calling from Him. They're running without being sent. They have no fear. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and He departed. What an amazing scene. He comes down, presents this fearful visage, dresses them down, and doesn't even give them an opportunity to respond. Whew, he's gone. And when he recalls himself, Miriam is leprous, white as snow. Some have questioned why it was Miriam that was leprous and not Miriam and Aaron as well. And that is a good question. I think commentators drive themselves to all sorts of silly lengths to explain what is going on here. I think it's very simple. I think Calvin, lo and behold, Calvin, I think he has it right. When he says the reason Aaron is spared the leprosy is because he's high priest. And he's going to make the high priesthood loathsome to the children of Israel if the high priest becomes leprous. Miriam is not a high priest, obviously, being a woman, and so she bears it. But Aaron understands. Aaron understands that the punishment that Miriam is bearing, being leprous, is his punishment as well. You see what he says? And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord," not this guy that I can do whatever he does, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." What is a fearful thing. A fearful thing that Aaron has done. And he realizes it. He sees it. He sees it in Miriam's leprosy that he himself has acted in that loathsome manner. Well, here's the amazing thing. Moses, what does Moses not do at this point? You see, I told you. You should have listened. Do you think that you could do what you've done? Lord has sure secured my position, hasn't he? Doesn't do any of that. Aaron said, It is just amazing to me, this man Moses, certainly the meekest man upon the face of the earth, because Aaron comes to him and says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, not tomorrow, not the next day. Heal her now, I beseech thee, Lord." It's an amazing scene. It's a great chapter. And the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." Oh, you see what the Lord does there? He says she has violated the fifth commandment. She's moved outside her station. Let her be shamed 7 days, just like her father would have sent her out 7 days if she had insulted her father. Because that's exactly what she's done. She has insulted her father. It's her younger brother. But in a sense, it's her father. It's her elder. It's her superior. It's the prophet of the Lord. And she has insulted him. And so, having insulted him, let her be shut out 7 days. And again, Aaron understands that this punishment is just as well his, and he's spared because of his office. And so she was shut out 7 days from the camp. The people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. Oh, what grace is there? They didn't leave her out there. The Lord had the entire camp wait for her until the time of her uncleanness was done and she was brought back in. Oh, by the way, what was required of lepers after they were cleansed? To stay out there 7 days. You know what that says? That the Lord did exactly what Moses asked Him to do. He healed her now. He healed her now. But she still had the 7 days to pay. Isn't that amazing? What a great scene then of sin and chastisement and repentance and restoration. This is what we have in Numbers chapter 12. I told you it's one of my favorite chapters. I think it's just great. Let's stand and continue praising God then in the singing of psalms. The next psalm is Psalm 18.